rear window, that trombone shot, though.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell, thanks to the Hollywood Avondale.
BFM, don't tell me to calm down.
I hope no one's going to tell me to calm down in this segment.
What are you excited about?
Or tell this friendly studio fly to calm down.
Still on that speaker?
Yeah, it's
I was too...
There was a moment earlier where he was like, don't move.
Steve,
I was like, what's going on?
Stephen Big Hungry, can I just say, we invited Patrick Gower up here, Paddy Gower, to come in and talk about his documentary he's just made. Sat him down, offered him a beer.
He didn't bring the flies. Is that where you're going with this?
There was, right by Patrick Gower's head, there's one fly doing a circle, like coming up to the
like
stinky,
a King Kong situation.
The stinky BFM studio with one fly circling by Patrick Gower's face.
Oh, come on. He's spent time with a shithole that's MediaWorks.
Never mind the desk that's got every single profanity scribed into it with a ballpoint pen.
Hey, welcome to BFM. One fly flying around the studio.
We're in film town now.
And the BFM creative director actually wrote me a segue.
Okay, good.
To get from weed to what we're going to talk about today. You want to hear about something buzzy? I want to talk about the fly.
Okay, they can be replaced. That's fine.
We can fix it in post.
So the fly is on at the Hollywood Avondale.
Yes, it's screening tomorrow night at 8 p.m. and I'm bloody excited because I think this might be my favourite Jeff Goldblum.
Your favourite? What about Jurassic Park?
I am Jurassic Park. That's me.
Yeah, well, look, I think it feels to me like Jurassic Park was sort of where the memification of Jeff Goldblum began.
Oh, the poo pile.
And I'm just going to play where this has all ended up. Some people may lynch me for this, but I'm not the world's greatest present-day Jeff Goldblum fan, and it's ended up becoming a bit of a self-parody. Let's have a listen to this for a sec.
This show is a little off the beaten track. And it may be unexpected and surprising. So, taste it and enjoy. My name is Jeff Goldblum. The name of the show is The World According to Jeff Goldblum.
He's got a great voice.
He does have a great voice.
Be forewarned, I'm in the show a lot. I'm sort of fascinated.
Oh, who's that laughing?
Sneakers. These shoes are worth $12,000 to $15,000.
Oh boy.
Denim. Ice cream.
Hey, can I guess what kind of ice cream?
Delicious.
Jewelry.
Isn't expensive.
Would you guess that he is tattoos. A underdressed or B overdressed?
Big time. A weird blazer with like plenty that. Of checkered situations going on.
And then every once in a while I break into.
He's
song.
A dapper dude. Don't get him wrong.
Okay. Anyway, what were we talking about?
So that's one of the National Geographic flagship shows coming to the Disney Plus channel when that launches in November. And look, he's been in that space for a little while now. It was used to great effect in Thor Ragnarok. He's a fantastic part of that film.
He's kind of a strange nerd. He's crossed over from the nerd realm into this kind of like
great skin.
Person of authority.
And he has done weird films throughout his entire career, but there's been this kind of smattering of absolutely freaking enormous movies throughout, like Independence Day or Jurassic Park, as you mentioned before, or, you know, that hugely successful Tim and Eric's billion-dollar movie that he played a character called Chef Goldblum in.
Was he in, like, not Coen Brothers, but something like that? Was he in...
Who did Moonrise Kingdom and stuff like that?
He's done a couple of Wes Andersons.
Yeah, Wes Anderson. Yep. Yeah. So if you're getting picked up by Wes Anderson, you know, you've got like a little something.
Steve, would you say that The Fly is absolutely iconic? That is it Goldblum's number one?
No, not at all.
No, I don't think so, because it sort of predates this sort of a parody, self-parody or very memeified sort of presence, because he plays his character for... he's definitely erratic as Seth Brundle, but there's also like a sinister element to it that it's probably missing from a lot of his films, where he just sort of seems to rock up and have a bit of fun.
The Fly is very sinister.
I remember, or maybe I misremember, the days of watching Saturday night movies on TV and wondering whether you're going to get the real movie or you're going to get the cut for TV movie. And I'm sure, maybe I'm misremembering this, but there's an iconic sequence in The Fly where as certain transformations happen and body parts start falling off, he keeps them in his bathroom cabinet. And I'm sure that there's the marker of, oh, you're watching the safer TV version, is that his junk is not in the bathroom cabinet.
Does he get like the strength of a fire? Well, anything cool happen from this? Like, well, it'd fly around?
It'd be good if he got the literal strength of a fly.
Is
and
it a
became
Stephen
quite
King
feeble
movie?
And couldn't get up out of bed. But,
it feels like a Stephen King movie.
It slows down in the cold.
It's a wonderfully gross David Cronenberg film, right, okay. And no surprises that David Cronenberg appears in the film and plays a gynecologist, because that is his...
Steve, we've had quite a relevant question just come through on the text machine.
Is the fly still on the monitor? Yes, I can report the fly is still on
David
on the
Lynch
monitor.
Or David Cronenberg?
Lynch for the music.
Lynch... in general, I want to say Lynch. More consistent, more tapping into some dream logic freakouts. But Cronenberg's great body horror, and The Fly is a fantastic example of just physical grossness.
Good effects. Grossness. All the gross you can handle.
Good effects, as in all those people that enter that face-off program sort of have something to do in those types of movies back in the 80s.
Making things out of plastic and then spraying them with goop so they glisten.
And then like a little Tamiya motor to make the mouth move.
There's a fair bit of glisten in the fly. I'll be hitting that up.
Is there like fly's eye view as well, with like heaps of like where it goes to like, you know, quintuplet screen sort of thing? Like beehive view?
I don't believe so.
Oh man, I can drop the ball there.
Anyway, that's tomorrow night. But if you also want to see a wonderfully magnetically sexual male in the movies this week, the documentary Mystify Michael Hutchence is out. And I think if I squint and I look at a picture of Jeff Goldblum in The Fly or maybe Jurassic Park, I can maybe see a bit of Michael Hutchence in that vibe as well. That doco,
definitely a lot of excess in the bedroom.
Fair. Fair.
Oh, that was a terrible laugh. I apologize.
just for that one?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yes, if you can't make it to the Hollywood Avondale tomorrow night for that 8 p.m. screening of The Fly, then maybe you can make do with another sort of sinewy, lithe sex god in the form of Michael Hutchence. That's not working for you guys at all, eh?
He was a big deal.
You're not getting that. That's not crossing the desk at all.
It's not like... Michael Hutchence, in my book, not really my cup of tea, but I know a lot of people have a huge...
Good news from that, though. John's got a book. Excited about this book, John.
I'm pretty excited
potentially
about
the movie.
Yeah.
His name isn't in my book.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM, thanks to the Hollywood Avondale.